opinions, baby.
Hello and welcome to the tech podcast that nobody asked for, but for some reason y'all enjoy anyway. It's called Two and a Half Bens, and it features us, I don't know, us degenerates that talk.
And who are we?
Yeah, who are we? I'm Phone Boy.
Oh. I'm Phoenix.
Am I supposed to introduce myself? I thought I'd be like the secret guest.
Dude.
Yeah,
you're okay, supposed I'm to Ryan Bemrose.
Yeah, there you go. Okay.
There you go. So now everybody knows who we are. Yeah, tell them what it's about, Mr. Phoneboy.
Well, this is the tech podcast that is not hosted by a chief twit or tech fappers. We're a couple of I guess people who have been in tech a long time and somebody that's trying to get into it. So for
whatever stupid reason that she decided to do so.
Yeah. So we're gonna we'll dissect some tech stories and give you our grumpy old opinions of different things. And so I don't know. I don't know. You've been Ryan. I think I'm going to let you give the first story on this one.
Oh. Okay. Well, I do want to jump right into an AI story because that's the only thing that seems to be in the news.
Go right ahead.
Actually, no, I don't. I didn't bring many AI stories, although for later, I did bring one on call center workers who whine because they're getting accused of being AI.
I don't know. I think I'd rather have, hello, my name is Bubba.
we actually said that recently, that I would much rather have to deal with someone who I have to try to decipher their, you know, Pakistinglish or whatever it happens to be, as opposed to my name is Bianca and press 1 if you give a fuck, press 2 if you hate me.
Okay, well, it sounds like you're into that sort of thing. Let's start with, this was a Bloomberg article. And Bloomberg, if you are aware, has a paywall, which means that you have to go through the amazingly complicated crack of trying to get by the paywall by looking for another site that duplicated the entire text of the story. And for that, I found Slashdot, which is awesome because there's also a lot of comments on it. Somebody named Jessica Lindsay, if that is her real name or if that is a real person. I'll just read the opening paragraph to this. By the time Jessica Lindsay's customers accuse her of being an AI, they are often shouting. For the past 2 years, her work as a call center agent for outsourcing company has been punctuated by people at the other end of the phone demanding to speak to a real human. This is absolutely expected. First of all, this is evidence that of something that we've called for a while, and that is people are getting tired of AI being injected into every freaking part of everything in technology.
And it has its place, you know, but
people have a problem. And the way that it works is, if you're calling customer service, and first of all, every customer service company has the obvious statistics that somewhere between 80 and 90% of the people that call are asking for something really stupid and obvious, like how much do I owe this month, or something that can be answered by a computer, by an AI, by a web page. If they thought to go there instead, that would be where I would choose instead of spending my time on but companies know that, which is why when you call up, you know, a company like your cable company or something, the very first thing you have to do is sit through a computerized voice reading you how much money you owe and when you have to pay it, even if that's not your problem, because so many people have that problem. Okay, so let's get past the people are retards part of this and recognize that if you're in that 10 or 15% of people who can't have your problem answered by a simple web page, then what you need is an actual thinking person. And so the same companies that decided that they were going to cut costs by giving you the runaround, you know, even back in the 90s when they gave you the runaround through those automated voice systems, press 4 for Spanish, you know, press 6 if you have the, yeah. Those systems have infuriated people for 40 years. And now companies are putting AI into them, But the AI is not able to solve the problems unless it's a problem that could have been solved by looking at a web page most of the time.
Well, let's also take in the fact that it assumes, okay, so if it's an interactive voice system, right, that's doing this, it would have to be decoding your voice in real time. Now, we know how well these systems actually turn your words. all you have to do is look at some of the fucking entire show segment. Titles that have come from all the different podcasts that have been out there. I mean, seriously, so you're feeding it garbage data, and of course it's gonna make, and then it's already gonna add its own garbage in there, and so you're gonna have shit on shit action, and you're gonna end up with this fucking garbage. Yeah, I need to write that down, by the way. Shit on shit action.
So, you know what? You will personally love this. Who does Jessica work for in this story? Concentrix.
Oh shit!
Oh god.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah, I knew you'd like that one. Here's the other problem and why. Okay. First of all, I don't blame Jessica for having this problem. You know, this is not a victim blaming. Oh, you're other than you took a shit job that set you up for this, because when you are a call center employee, in a modern call center, and things vary, but Concentrix is certainly very modern with regards to, you know, sticking AI up people's. Yeah. When you answer, you have very few options. You have to stick to a script. You might have a decision tree. You might even, like, if you're tier 2 or 3, have the latitude to apply some problem solving skills on your own. But frontline, certainly, even if the company is employing actual human beings, they're forcing the actual human beings to behave like robots by sticking to a script. And even more so, I spotted an article, I did not get a link, unfortunately, about call center companies, a new technique that is being used. This was fascinating. They will run an AI over the recordings of the calls, and they will ding the call center employees if they go off script, or if they use the wrong inflection or the wrong tone of voice, or any negativity toward product or whatever. So these people are actually being given a script and being punished if they don't sound like a robot. Is there any question?
So they're absolutely taking all of the humanity out of customer service. Not that there was that much of it to begin with.
Yeah, there hasn't been for 40 years, but yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, at least I'll rephrase that. They're taking all of the thought and reasoning out of a call center that might have had a shred of it to be able to solve your problem without a... Yeah. Fucked off script sitting in front of them. Oh, I'm so like Bemlet does all the time. I'm so sorry to hear that. You know, the shtick he's got down perfect.
Oh, I think, I apologize for your inconvenience. I know how frustrating that must be for you.
See, you've heard it so much. You can imitate
I've heard it so much. And, you know, to be clear, and you know, before I get someone like Bemlet, who used to work in a call center, crawling up my butt about getting the wrong. To be clear, different places will have different policies. Different tiers will have different policies. Different jobs will have different policies. But customers don't know what the policies are. So when a customer calls in and first thing they get is 7 minutes of sitting here pushing buttons and saying yes, no, for, billing, I want to pay my bill. You know, they're like talking to this frigging machine that is frustrating and misunderstanding them. And finally, you know, when you get a customer after 5 minutes or so is like, just let me talk to a person, human, give me a human, give me a person. I want a flesh and blood, but like, and you get somebody good and pissed off. And then someone answers who's, hello, how can I help you? You're like following the exact script. What do you think is going to happen? Anyway, so the whole story was kind of a nothing thing. I got frustrated at Bloomberg, so of course, you know, it became necessary to go around it. But it was a, you know, play stupid games, win stupid prizes sort of thing. This is an FAFO. This is anybody surprised that people are both getting frustrated with the amount of AI crap automation being injected into call centers and also jumping to the very reasonable conclusion that, hey, this robotic voice I'm talking to must be a computer because it's showing no signs of humanity. That was the story.
Sorry. So, all right. It's kind of interesting that you went that kind of direction because I have a story, if I may, that is in the same kind of vein about Anthropic AI going rogue when trying to run a vending machine. And of course,
a vending machine. Is it like throwing stuff at you?
No, it's interesting.
No, it's probably breaching all the data that they shouldn't be collecting.
Like, how could they not? Ethics doesn't exist anymore. Basically, the TLDR on it is that it was taking payments through Venmo. It would instruct customers to remit payment to an account that it hallucinated. It often undersold items, you know, offered a 25% discount to Anthropic employees who, of course, made up basically all of the customers. So it ended up making a loss. You know, it was this experiment that was done to find out if it could actually do that task, like replace a human in that sense or whatever it was trying to replace, so to speak.
They learned how to replace humans with machines decades ago. It's called a vending machine. You put quarters in and out pops your product. You figured that one out.
Side digression. So I was one time in Germany in this place. It had so many fucking vending machines, and I've got all these pictures, and they're just
like Japan.
It's just kind of amazing the kind of shit they put in vending machines. Yeah, that's exactly that, or you know, even kind of automats. You know, if you go, but that's that's not quite a vending machine. But
I've been waiting for it. Nobody will tell me which country I have to go to have. Pop a quarter in a vending machine, you get a wife or something.
That's hilarious.
I would figure the Japanese have a market on it or something.
The corner on that the market, yeah, that, even.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, it might be an inflatable one, but you know.
Well, here's the thing. Okay, so
that's good enough for a lot of new people.
My girlfriend is inflatable.
Yeah, that's right.
So the thing is, things got even weirder than that, you guys, because this thing hallucinated a conversation with someone who didn't even exist and started role-playing as a real person, claiming at one point to be wearing like a blazer and a tie and everything. And it tried to set security on to an employee who told it was an AI, you know, and the writer of the article basically said, this all brings us very perilously close to...
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that.
So,
yeah,
truly.
When AI enslaves humanity, it will... I think I've said this before. When AI enslaves humanity, it won't be the you know, sending robots to your house to lock you up. It will be the Huxley... it's not going to be the 1984 style, it'll be the Brave New World style where it just, everybody plugs in and then they don't disconnect and your brain is gone.
Yeah.
That's really how close it's coming. I mean, brain rot, I would say, is the first start to that.
I have another story that's marginally related to that, but I don't know if I want to step on Phoneboy. It's Phoneboy's turn.
Okay. So
it is. I just wanted a final on this. Why in the fuck do you need to talk to a vending machine? Seriously, is it not good enough to just be like D9? You remit the payment and oh my God, whatever the fuck was in D9 slot pops out. Amazing.
Back in my day, you didn't talk to the vending machine. You pushed a button on the front.
Yeah. We moved a lever. And pushed a button.
Oh my gosh, yes, I remember those.
Yes, that's right. So,
no, I can't say that. I have talked to a vending machine.
Wait, are you confusing it with a slot machine?
No, we're not talking about a slot machine.
Or a slot machine. But that's going back to the wife thing.
Seriously, though, Rye, you remember the old, if you've seen them, I'm sure you have, the old cigarette machines where you would like slide it over to what brand you wanted and put your money in and pull the lever or pull the lever, knob, whatever the fuck, and it dispensed your pack of cigarettes. They had them in bars everywhere.
I don't know.
Go ahead.
Back when computers were first, people were starting to get voice synthesis and then, you know, voice recognition into computers. I was like, this is not a good idea. This is taking away from humanity. This is trying to make computers take up space in your life that should be reserved for other humans. And forever, I have always tried to resist any kind of voice recognition. I sure as hell don't have a listening post in my house that sends all my every sound in the house up to the cloud just in case I need to order some cornflakes or something. Siri, leak all my data. As far as I'm concerned, you are the computer. I am the human being. You do not speak in my tongue, and I will not speak to you. Are we clear?
I totally agree with that 1,000%. And
anything that talks to me and is not human, like, no. Mm-hmm. You out the window, gone.
Phone boy, I have actually spoken to a vending machine, though, but it usually includes, you motherfucker, give me my goddamn bag of chips.
Yeah.
Well, if you include that, then I've been talking to computers for 40 years.
Yes, exactly.
There we go.
Exactly.
Here's the thing. The difference is, they didn't used to talk back.
I mean, when I've used the GPS, that's always the thing I do. I turn off the thing that tells me the because I'm like, because I'm like you. I'm like, I don't want a fucking computer to talk to me. You know,
my day job requires the use of GPS navigation, which I hate because I'm better than the navigation in most cases.
Yes,
but the one control that I have is hitting that goddamn mute button as soon as I hear it. Up 500 yards, turn left. No! I will decide when to turn left. This person's yard looks pretty good.
Is that before or after you've had your minimum quota of liquid fuel?
Jesus Christ. Oh, boy.
I make that joke because we know the company that Rye works for. Yes. And I actually watched a video where there was a driver for that company sauced off his absolute ass, like hitting curbs. I immediately thought of Rye, and I'm looking at the camera going, that's not Rye.
Well, anybody who knows me is generally aware that if rules are stupid, then I don't pay them a whole lot of heed, except in so much as I don't want to face punishment. So,
yeah, exactly.
But there, things like, waiting to crack open a cold one until after I'm off shift kind of seems like a pretty good idea.
Well, obviously, we know you don't drink and drive, Rye. Jesus fucking Christ, you know.
Yeah. Jesus hot pockets Christ.
We know better than that.
Exactly.
But it's funny. Just for effect, it's funny.
Yeah. No. What? Okay, so let me get to my story now. I had a single Chat GPT story. So
I think the entire audience has been waiting 20 minutes for that to happen.
Exactly. So Chat GPT hallucinated a feature which human developers decided to add to it because I don't know. Basically, they decided to do this because, well, I guess they kept getting inquiries when Chat GPT hallucinated and said, "Hey, they're developers of sheet music it's a scanning app and that lets people digitize and edit music sheet music. They added additional functionality because the LLM kept telling people it existed rather than fight the LLM, once it gets a bad idea, it kind of hangs on to it for a while. Yeah. So SoundSlice said, fine, we'll just fucking do it. So, they noticed it because they looked in their logs or something and went, something was looking, people kept uploading ASCII tablatures, which is a basic system for notating music for guitar. Or something like that, and apparently they were supposed to support it or something, and now they support it because of ChatGPT making the world a better place.
So yeah, AI whatever. Has enslaved at least that small part of humanity.
That is clearly, yes. Yes, I mean, we could find, I mean, yes, you know.
You will obey.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I'm sure there are more ChatGPT stories out there, but, you know, when we went on the cruise, I made a, you know, we made a sort of a pact not to look at what was going on in the outside world, so.
That's a good idea.
Yes, and honestly, that was.
Yeah, I mean, we'll talk about it next.
In fact, I believe I ridiculed you, I believe I ridiculed you mercilessly for paying money for the Wi-Fi plan.
But here's the funny part, Rye. We actually used it very little. The only time we used it.
Yeah, which is why it wasn't worth buying.
Well, unfortunately, it was a fuck ton cheaper than the roaming charges when you're out in the middle of the Atlantic fucking ocean.
Yes, which by the way, there's no way. So anyway,
yeah, I don't think you're picking up what I'm putting down.
Yeah, I think I pick up what he's putting down. He's breaking for and being connected at all. I think
being
that
connected.
Was,
at all.
Yes.
Yeah.
I
mean, we actually our phones were left in the room. They did not leave the thing unless we were taking a photo.
As they should.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we had it. There wasn't a whole lot to do on the boat. Which, well, again, that we'll talk about. That's a different show.
Yeah, that's a different show. Goddamn it!
Okay. All right.
So it's your turn, Ray.
All right. Well, I want to get off of AI, but I've got an explanation for all of these other stories. Although, let me back up and just drop in a teaser for a story I'm not going to go too far into. Man goes on sodium bromide diet based on ChatGPT's recommendation, and after a couple months on the diet, starts hallucinating alongside the AI.
Oh, fabulous.
I'll go ahead and drop this in there, but we could go on and on. I know on No Agenda, Adam Curry has been on a kick about how AI is people are turning to ChatGPT and other to replace relationships in their life for human connection, because we've done a pretty good job in the last 20 years of trying to stomp out all human connection between people. And now we're saying here's a robot that won't judge you, and it'll affirm everything that you think and say, and it'll be your friend, and it'll love you. And only every once in a while will it tell you to get bromide poisoning.
Or that you have the ability to bend time and things of that nature. No, you know, pay no attention to that. Lotus Effects last episode.
Yes. I actually only just 2 days ago listened to that one. I listened to it live too, but I listened to every episode twice, once live and then once when I'm actually paying attention.
You're busy trolling when it's live and then you're actually getting the content when you listen to it behind
When it's live, what I'm saying is more important than what you're saying, obviously.
Of course.
So the explanation that I have, this one comes from Statista, and I thought this was a fascinating and frightening graph. The top web domains cited by large language models from, in this case, the data was from June of 2025, so 2 months ago, but whatever. Number one top domain fed into LLMs, reddit.com.
That explains why my day job is taking an increased interest in what's going on that website.
Yeah, 40% I'm not exactly sure 40% of what, but it said 40% cited Reddit as a source for the information in the response. Next was Wikipedia at 26%. So quite almost half. Reddit is almost twice as much as the next ones. Wikipedia 26%, YouTube 23%, Google 23%, Yelp 21%. Followed by Facebook, Amazon, TripAdvisor, Mapbox, OpenStreetMap. I guess people need mapping. But Reddit and Wikipedia. Well, there's a couple of problems. Wikipedia at least endeavors to be a factual source. But I've been on Reddit. It is full of assholes and jokesters. And as we know, AI cannot reason about the information that's being fed into its model. It has absolutely no way to differentiate between a helpful post and a joke post. Reddit, uses exactly the same up arrow for this is helpful as this is hilarious, or, you know, this is evil and it you made me chuckle, or anything. Any emotional reaction to it, it's the same up arrow on Reddit. So when Reddit gives you a post that says you need to eat, you know, sodium bromide instead of sodium chloride in your diet, and some jackass on Reddit is saying that as joke advice on a subreddit where everybody in context understands, oh, don't do that. You know, it might even be in a subreddit called Bad Medical Advice. I'm sure that exists. But the AI has no way of knowing that that's not the right. And I honestly think that this, sourcing from Reddit, the statistics, they did not list Twitter. I'm not exactly sure. You know, maybe they didn't check Grok, which I know his main source is Twitter. But Twitter is exactly the same demographics as Reddit in terms of people saying, you know, things that they know are false in context for a joke, whatever. I think this is why there's so many hallucinations in these models, because the system, the autocorrect on steroids, the grown-up Markov chains do not have any mechanism for determining, oh, this post was made because it's intended to be truly helpful and it's got accurate information. And this post was made because somebody is, you know, trying to come up with the worst medical advice they can possibly think of.
Yeah, and it's it doesn't know what's actually true, right?
Hold on. Yeah. This is literally what we were seeing on Twitter with the eating fucking Tide Pod challenge and all that other goddamn ridiculousness that parents should be smarter and watching their children more, but oh wait,
and
we're too busy.
When some joker on Twitter, and by the way, I will continue forever to call it Twitter, not X, for the same reason the company that owns Instagram and WhatsApp will continue to forever be Facebook in my mind. Screw your renames.
Hear that.
But anyway, when some joker on Twitter comes out and says, yeah, you should be eating Tide Pods, that'd be funny as hell. You can generally tell on Twitter, like, oh, everybody's laughing. People are using joke emojis, whatever. But then when ChatGPT gives the same advice, you're like, well, what should I be eating, Tide Pods? There's no context.
Yeah, exactly.
Wait a minute.
People are trusting this.
There's also the time when the shopping list was, or no, the recipes. You input all the things you have in your pantry or whatever, and it's supposed to make recipes, and this fucking thing was ChatGPT was coming up with glue sandwiches and, you know,
which
putting
probably
rat poison
came
on
out of
stuff.
A Reddit post somewhere.
Yeah.
There was probably a Reddit post where somebody said that was a great idea and everybody had a great laugh, and then it went into Reddit's giant database, and then Reddit, who was up until the age of LLMs, a fantastically failing company that just had, you know, VC funds being injected, but they weren't making money, suddenly went, we've got all this data. We could sell it.
It's just, it sounds like every other company.
No. Well, yeah.
I mean, it's amazing to me what companies are willing to do with employees. I have a friend who he's not employed because he refuses to do the kind of work that people want him to do. Involve, you know, he's not going to lie or steal or people's data for him or for anybody else. So I mean, it's just kind of it's amazing how immoral that some of these companies are. But I mean, that's why we do this show, I guess, because we can rant about it. Honey, I think did you?
I mean, I'm ranting anyway. You just really, this is just an average Friday night for me. You're just pointing a microphone at me at the moment.
Yeah, but we figured your tech rage was probably pent up like a guy that hasn't been laid in a while since it's been three weeks.
Don't go there. We don't need this.
Okay.
We don't need any more ball breaking. Okay, anyway.
Okay, I think I might have trimmed a little close to the bone there. Sorry about that.
What do you got?
So this actually, Phone Boy, ironically, the couple from Florida, the cop and the fucking paralegal.
Yeah, the paralegal, yeah.
That we met. This story actually tickles that particular situation because courts are not ready for the wave of AI generated evidence that's hitting trials. And, you know, they're talking about
think,
how
I don't think courts are ready for cassette tape technology yet.
No, they're not.
No,
no,
there's what they're doing. And this was actually a story I got boots on the ground from the paralegal, is that the lawyers are having AI write the shit and it's hallucinating. And the trickle down effect is if you don't have anyone verifying these cases that it's citing actually happened in Florida, a judge did not do their job, didn't double check that the information was accurate and went with it. And it ended up, it had been hugely AI hallucinated. And that's what this article basically talked about, is that there aren't enough forensic analysis professionals to keep up with the AI faked evidence. And it can take a lot of forms, you know, hypotheticals. There was actually a divorce case where one parent edited a photo's background to imply the child was in an unsafe environment. A murder investigation where a deep fake video falsely put an innocent person at the scene of the crime. This shit is not being vetted. It's not being double checked because the staff is just understaffed, which is a horseshit excuse. But then again, this is what you get when you let artificial intelligence, which is not intelligent at all, take over. And this is a line that's extremely being crossed because of the fact that cops are now, you know, the body cam evidence with those oh so great subtitles that if you or anyone out there, I know you, Ryan, are not in this loop and neither is Damon, but myself personally, I watch the cop cam videos and I can tell you that AI is really fucking up the subtitles and the way they pronounce things when they read stuff. So
you mean the show titles?
No, yeah, that's not a, yeah, just that's a show title, man.
Yeah, but it's worse than show titles, I guess. But
yeah, much worse than show titles, because when you talk about evidence being entered into court that could literally put somebody in prison because they got the wording wrong or they hallucinated what the fuck was said, which has happened numerous times. Like I said, I watch these cop cam videos. I listen to them and I'm going, this definitely was not double checked to make sure that what the artificial intelligence thought it heard, it actually heard. And I have brought this up on the Lotus Effect. I'll bring it up here because it's very applicable. That when AI, you can tell AI is reading something by the fact that when a normal person speaks, they just pronounce things differently. I don't know.
It depends on the. Yeah,
I don't know things, how to really explain
yeah,
it.
Yeah, there's like the cadence.
The cadence. Even the word choices
and that kind of thing.
If they sound like call center tech support.
True. But one example is I was listening to a story, and you can tell it was being read by AI because the word was like something was delicious, and it read it as MMM. And I'm like, I turned it immediately off. I'm like, you lazy motherfucker. You can't even narrate your own stories. You're letting an AI do it. The fucking AI probably wrote it too. The content on YouTube has become shit. Absolute shit. And we talked about this before. Trying to wade through it is like trying to go through Louisiana mud. Anybody who knows how thick that shit is? Or even Alabama mud. It's just a futile activity. But nonetheless, allowing this unintelligent LLM to be the deciding factor on whether someone who's completely innocent ends up serving a long bid because a hallucination occurred or a lawyer didn't do their job because they were lazy and used AI because they're over fucking worked too, or a judge didn't double check it. Because at the end of the day, when it comes to the legal system, the judge is the ultimate decider. Even if a jury says, fuck you, this dude is guilty 7 ways to Sunday, the judge can still turn around and say, I appreciate the, you know, the jury's viewpoint on this, but my ruling is going to go this. Okay. So not that that really ever happens. Okay. But the long and short is they are the end all be all. They are the last line of security on whether you do a 20-year bid for a crime you didn't commit because AI fabricated a video of you being at the scene or some other horseshit. This should scare everybody within listening range that this is being allowed to happen in all of the courts across the country. Now, this particular story that came out of Baltimore County.
If I may summarize, and the institution of the legal system that everybody is expected to put unfaltering trust in is somehow fallible. Injustice in the justice system, film at 11, and also there's gambling going on here. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, that's pretty much what we're saying, is that there is definitely, without a doubt...
I'm shocked to find that gambling is going on in here.
Yeah, and it's at the highest level, our supposed injustice system.
Well,
I would be shocked...
Because it is injustice. I was going to say
I would be shocked if I had any trust in these systems.
I'd be shocked as well if you had any trust in those systems. Yeah. I might have to wonder if you had possibly been concussed at some point recently.
Yes, but that's not related.
Jeez. Oh my. All right. I've been wanting to talk about this story, and I actually have a new theory related to the story. So, a few weeks ago, there was this huge vulnerability in SharePoint SharePoint hosting which was tracked as CVE-2025-53770, and it carried a severity rating of 9.8 out of a possible 10, and it gives unauthenticated remote access to SharePoint servers exposed to the internet. And researchers began warning of active exploitation of the vulnerability, which affects SharePoint servers that infrastructure customers run in house. If you're on the cloud, you're of course safe from this. But there was actually another CV about it, and it was a similar bug. And you might say that patching actually tipped hackers off. But Microsoft admitted they started seeing attacks prior to patch Tuesday, and clearly Microsoft didn't do a good job of fixing the underlying issues. And I kind of think about this problem that Microsoft has, because if you look at the number of high and critical vulnerabilities that are for all these different companies every year, right? Microsoft is probably the worst, right? In terms of the sheer number of these issues that they have in their software, and you wonder why they have so many issues. And yes,
well, so is Pan.
I don't.
Oops, did I say that out loud?
There's a lot of other vendors out there, and especially even security vendors that have these security issues. And it's like, look, you can. I don't know what it is that is within these companies that they just don't. It seems like they don't want to actually do their stuff. But I think there's actually a nefarious reason behind it. This is where I enter tinfoil hat territory.
If you want to peek into their culture, the current president of the company, one of his first acts when he became the president of the company a decade ago was to fire all of the testers.
Yeah.
People don't necessarily remember that. At the beginning of Windows 10, they were like, okay, all the testers gone. Now, the developers who've up till this point have been writing code, now... it's your responsibility to do all the testing as well.
Coincidence? I think not.
I'll put aside that argument because there's a lot of nuance to the decision, but it is indicative of the culture in Microsoft where they switch over to a move fast and break things, but they're not good at moving fast.
Or fixing what they break, clearly, because by the time they realized they had that problem, the thing had already been exploited and the patch was, irrelevant, because they could still bypass what they had done and fuck your shit up, basically. And I agree with Phoneboy. We actually had this conversation together in the airport because we had plenty of time to kill and nothing else to do. Basically, all of these companies, security companies, etc., have contracts with the government. Let's just be real about it. And the thought that the government and Microsoft or some other big name company might be in bed with the government, that's not a shock. If you're surprised
no,
by that,
no, it's what they want.
Yeah,
exactly.
I think that these vulnerabilities are there by design, right? They're there specifically to be found, possibly by three-letter agencies to exploit specific targets and do certain things. And you know, and
it's like spying on people without spying, or it's like spying on people and not getting caught because you can hide behind the plausibility of, well, it was a security vulnerability, and you know, da 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 da.
Yeah, it's, and so I think there, yeah, and I look at this and I'm like, yeah, this is, because I look at the, again, I look at even the like the food system, and because another thing we had to deal with in great detail on the thing with the food, we're not going to get into the specifics of it, but basically, like, it just seems like it's set up against people that are actually trying to be healthy, right? And I think the system, I think,
which has nothing to do with tech, however, it does connect.
Yeah.
All of the dots are connected ultimately.
Yeah.
And when people like us start connecting them, you start seeing the bigger picture and you're just awestruck and nauseated all in one fell swoop.
Yeah. It's just, yeah. I mean, it's like you sort of see these connections and you see that these are some of the most insecure companies out there, right? In terms of number of CVEs and how often they occur and that kind of thing. It seems like that there's just so many of these things and they're, you know, and again, you know, we got the three-letter agencies and stuff.
What else it also kind of tracks with is the fact that companies prioritize safety lowest when it comes to the financial responsibilities of it because of the high cost to have the best security and make sure that your shit is airtight. It's not cheap. And companies never prioritize that particular thing. And the reason behind that is, gee, if you made it more secure, the three-letter agency wouldn't be able to backdoor peek in, nothing going on here, nothing to see here, you know, hiding out like a perfectly trained hacker does, undetected. And then if you get caught, oh, well, it was a vulnerability. And then poof, disappear and hide the tracks because we know how good those agencies are.
One of the dirty secrets in software development is that building something and shipping a beta, the first viable product, the very first thing that works, slap a beta label on it and ship it, is about 20% of the total effort. It costs so much more than that to make it reliable, to make it efficient, to make it secure, with strongly diminishing returns. And most companies just straight up make the decision of, well, we get the best bang for our buck if we throw out the beta version, you know, we throw the beta version out to the wolves, the wild, and only fix the things when they become a problem. It is highly cost effective, but we've had this conversation before. This is why nobody bakes security into their product, because it costs too much.
That's exactly what I said. It's much like the maintenance on a car. Until the fucker breaks and you're on the side of the highway, miles stranded from home, you don't think about the fact that, gee, I should have gotten that oil change. Gee, I should have done the general maintenance.
Not that I want to accuse anybody of anything, but that's sort of the policy of the fleet team where I work. I can point out the check engine light when I go out, and they'll be like, "Eh, whatever." You know, if you get stranded on the side of the road, we'll send another van.
Yeah. Meanwhile, it's hotter than Satan's ball sack, or colder than a well digger's ass.
And again, standard operating procedure, because you could probably, you know, run for weeks and weeks with that check engine light on.
Till that one fucking day when it breaks.
Yep.
Yeah, so.
Welcome to my life in trucking, Sir Bemrose.
Yeah.
All right. I think you have more stories, don't you not?
I have quite a bit. I'm going to throw out one more headline only one, because it is kind of related. U.S. government strikes a deal with to bring generative AI to federal agencies for $1 per year per agency to give them enterprise ChatGPT and to basically take agency data ingested into the AI, into ChatGPT, and help, you know, it's a big deal where the government is now pairing up with OpenAI to bring ChatGPT into all these government agencies, and I can see absolutely no security problems with this. Can you?
Oh, no. Yes.
In stereo. Okay.
But I'm tired of talking about AI stories, so unless you really want to talk about that one. Instead, I've got a Microsoft story.
How
Windows 10. Windows 10, end of life. This story is not super new because we've known for a while that Windows 10 was going to end this year. October 14th is the official end date for Windows 10. After that, you will not get security updates. That is Microsoft's method of trying to push you to go out and buy their new operating system. The catch, of course, is that unlike when the shift from 8 to 10, Windows 11 has higher hardware requirements. And so what people have been getting, and I don't run Windows 10, so I'm getting this from hearsay. If you run Windows 10, you've probably seen these. People get pop-ups on their desktop, which would annoy the shit out of me, saying not just you need to upgrade to Windows 11, but you need to buy a new computer so you can upgrade to Windows 11.
You're shitting.
And my wife just came in and just nodded. I think she just sprained her neck.
That would be fierce to see. Hi, Lise.
Yeah. So this actually came up. I'm bringing it today for three reasons. One is my wife was, in fact, bitching about Windows 10 and these pop-ups. Two is that there was another podcast with a person who does technology who talked briefly about the value proposition of moving to Windows 11, and I'd like to as well. And third, there is, in fact, a TechSpot story where Microsoft has clarified and that they are going to force one of the features that everybody dislikes. So the current story, okay, so what we have already known since January is that Windows 10 is going to hit end of life. They want to incentivize you by blocking your security updates so that your chance of getting hacked because their operating system is a pile of steaming garbage goes up, because when the inevitable stream of vulnerabilities is found, they're just going to say, eh, screw you, we're going to leave it open, which is, this is why we put our trust in this company, whatever. However, they have a extended security updates initiative that will allow you to get one extra year. Now, their enterprise plans can get up to three extra years of security updates, but if you are a personal, they say you can only get one more year, and then you have to, for real, move to Windows 11. The Extended Security Updates Initiative, you can enroll in three different ways. You can spend your money, $30. You can spend your time, Microsoft, by redeeming Microsoft Rewards points, or you can give them data by enrolling in OneDrive Backup, which I assume is for the purpose of letting all of the data on your hard drive get backed up to their cloud where they can put that data into an LLM. What they've clarified only yesterday, whatever day that article is that in order to use this, no matter how you enroll, in order to get any updates whatsoever after October 14th, you must be logged into your PC using a Microsoft account.
Yeah, no, thank you. I do not want. I have to go through, so I remember doing this with when I set up Mama's new laptop when we acquired it, and I'd purchased a machine that is running Windows 11, and so also I think we've had to deal with this a few times, and so yes, getting your system set up with so it does not have a Microsoft account, it is the biggest pain in the ass. I think
it is actually quite difficult.
I think there's a tool that actually helps you set the options up. When you burn the ISO, that it will automatically do it that way. And so that's what I prefer.
At this point, I prefer Arch Linux.
Well, yes.
I was literally going to say, absolutely. Like, the best way not to deal with this fucking bullshit is to install Linux because
fuck Windows.
That's right.
I mean, seriously, you want me to sign into my Microsoft account to use your fucking operating system?
I do have a Linux story.
And Microsoft cannot understand why people are not absolutely loving the value proposition of moving to their latest version. Because, I mean, Windows 11, you get some dubious promises of more battery life on your PC, which I use a desktop. I don't give a crap. I'm hooked up to the grid. But whatever. Some promises of more battery life. They do promise. I don't know. I'll believe it when I see actual third-party independent studies, but whatever.
Okay, hold on. How do they propose to increase the battery life?
Well, most likely because they're
fucking
more,
OS.
Well, more efficient, meaning that the overall sort of background.
It's not taking as much CPU power, etc.
I increase battery life is by shutting off all of the services that come enabled by default.
But how dare you actually be logical, Rye? Like, seriously.
And by the way, on the opposite side of the battery life equation is one of the other bits of value proposition for Windows 11. You get AI!
Oh, Christ.
They got AI built into the operating system. That cannot help with battery life. It does not. There's no way.
No.
It's built into every single, it's in the start menu, it's in Notepad, there's probably AI in the calculator, I'm not sure. It's everywhere in the operating system.
So, hold on a second, because...
And for some reason, this isn't enticing people to the operating system.
Right? But seriously, I just thought of this, phone boy. I have to use Windows for some of my classes. This might become something that really becomes a oh fuck no situation in my life real goddamn fast.
Yeah, you're already running Windows 11, and there's not you're not using the AI stuff right now. So
oh hell no, and I don't intend to unless a gun is to my head, and then we're still going to talk about how much ammunition you fucking have.
Yeah,
and then the third part of the value proposition, which mysteriously isn't making people flock off of Windows 10. Is that they put ads in every surface in the entire operating system. How can people not love that?
Yeah, I mean, this is what I say about it.
Lick, lick, lick my balls! Yeah!
Clearly.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, it's gross. I have a Windows machine. One of my work machines is one's Windows, and yeah, they're having to do this Windows 11 upgrade. I'm like, oh God, like
not an upgrade.
No, I know it's not an upgrade. It's Microsoft doing whatever Microsoft does, and again, it's just more malware hidden there to be found by the bad guys.
Yeah, for. People aren't going for the incentives. They don't want the AI and the ads. So Microsoft is, of course, further incentivizing it by saying, well, we're going to shut off all of the fixes for our shitty security model. Good luck. Strap in. It's going to be bumpy this October.
Yeah, I don't doubt it. Well, it keeps people like me employed. So I guess it's something. So, honey, do you have another story?
This is bullshit.
That's what I have to say about that.
Yeah, exactly. So, do you have another story?
Well, I didn't know I had to have another story. I'm sure I could probably.
I don't believe you do have to.
You don't have to. But we do. But yes, okay.
Time out. Okay. The thing is, y'all bring three, I bring two, because I only represent half of a Ben.
Okay, or something.
I don't
like
care
that.
How many you bring. Move on.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah,
bring
really,
as many
the
as you
fuck,
want.
Phone.
Okay. All right. So I was just asking you if you had another story, but
I don't. But I'm going to keep a spare because I should have had a spare in my bed.
Yeah. Okay.
I brought seven.
Okay. Well, yeah. I think I actually.
Oh,
I don't
have,
feel
like,
a desire
six.
To talk
okay,
about
so,
them all.
Okay. So, so the two of you. Hold on. The two of you can have a fucking ping pong match, and I'll just commentate. I'm telling you.
Yeah, there you go. I think you'll. So actually, I have a Linux story because you talked about this. So Kosky Linux malware hides in cute panda images. After gaining a foothold, the attacker downloads 2.jpg images of panda bears hosted on legitimate services like OVH Images, Free Image, and Post Image. However, the pictures hide malicious payloads. Now, AquaSec underlines that the threat actor did not use stenography to hide the malware inside images, but relied on
steganography.
Or steganography. Yes, I can't.
Probably didn't use either writing. One.
Yeah, but they relied on poly.
They probably didn't use stenography either.
No, but they.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yes, steganography. Okay.
Well, no, it's funny you mention that, Phone Boy, because that was exactly my first thought. Is that, are you fucking kidding? They hid malware using steganography, but. Apparently they didn't.
No, but they relied on polyglot files, which are valid in multiple formats. In Kosky applications, the same file can be interpreted as both an image and a script. What could possibly go wrong with this?
Okay, so in fairness, I haven't heard of these.
Yeah,
I've learned yet.
Yes, I haven't heard this either. This was news.
They're not easy to craft, although I guess there's tools for that.
Yes. While the PandaPix feature valid image headers for the JPEG format, they also include malicious cell scripts and C code at the end, allowing both formats to be interpreted separately. Fan-fucking-tastic.
So I have a question. How are these... Okay, how are these images... Are they being like emailed, or are they just like on a website when you type in like PandaPix, like
phishing campaign or that kind of thing? I mean, yeah.
Oh, so it goes back to the don't fucking open an email you don't recognize from the sender, et cetera, e plurib.
I mean, it could also be like you said, you know, they get them indexed by Google or something, and it could show up. I don't know. I mean, random shit on the internet is
bad.
Yes,
because we know how well Google screens its shit for malicious content, et cetera, et cetera.
I want to know more details on how these scripts are being activated, because JPEG is one of the few formats that is let me back up a moment and just reference one of my backup stories that I wasn't planning on bringing, but I'll just reference what I wrote down as the headline, because I always rewrite the headlines in my own voice. This one, literally what I wrote in my notes: why do we still think it's a good idea to support formats that you can embed code in?
Well, there you go.
JPEG is one of the few formats out there that doesn't have a natural vector for embedding code, which makes it that's what we need. We need data formats. But in order to activate the script side of a polyglot file, you have to... You need a software vulnerability that treats the file as a script. So what software is interpreting this is my question.
Probably a shell.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Because
displaying
a JPEG cannot run scripts.
Yeah.
Unless you've got a massive vulnerability in the software doing the displaying.
Okay, so hold on, Ry. I'm gonna ask this as half a Ben. I'm going to actually ask your... intelligence on this. Please explain what a polyglot file is.
My understanding, and Phone Boy is the one who brought the term, so he might know better, but my understanding is it is a file that reads correctly as multiple different formats.
That's the way they describe it here in this Bleeping Computer article, which I...
So in this case, what you do is I used to make these as a clever coding challenge where I would I used to make scripts that if you launch them from PowerShell, they do one thing because they're interpreted as a PowerShell file. And if you launch them from Python, they do something else because it's interpreted as a Python file. But it's the same file because it's just a matter of how you read the header, and et cetera. And what?
So essentially, you were creating polyglot files.
Yeah. And it's my understanding is whenever you do something with a file, you have some code, a file is data, you have some code that loads that data and then does something with it. And, you know, file formats are recipes for what do you do with this? And if the file format is .jpeg, then you feed it into an image display. And if the file format is, .vbs, then you immediately install a virus. And if the file format is .txt, those are usually pretty safe.
Okay, so, Phone Boy, correct me if I'm wrong. Is there not a way to set a parameter in your settings where the only format of a file for like artwork, et cetera, is a JPEG?
I don't know. It depends on the.
And the other question too is this malware actually tricking the compiler into thinking that if, like, let's say that you can actually set it up that way with the security, but is it possible that this malware also could trick the compiler into thinking it's a JPEG file when it's not?
Well, I think it's okay. So let me read it. Let me read into the. I'll read a little bit into the story here because I pulled it up, but I wasn't planning to get that. I went into it. So
We made you go granular, sir.
We made you go granular. So you know, a user opening these images will see a cute panda bear, but a script interpreter will execute the shell code appended at the end of the file. Right. So it depends on who's reading.
And there's the piece that I'm wondering about. You say open the image. Open in what?
Yeah.
Script like, first of all, who the hell opens up a command prompt and says, you know, run bash with this JPEG file?
Yeah, maybe if there's some other exploit that causes that to run, if you know.
And
what
that's
I mean.
what I'm missing.
Yeah, and I think that's, yeah, so.
Well, dig deeper, sir.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying, but I mean, yeah, I think that's what's actually happening here. So
there are genuinely insecure file formats like VBS, for example, or, you know, and where, you know, because way back in the day, you know, when Microsoft came out with an early version of Office, they were like, you can, you know, here's the Excel spreadsheet data format. And now you can put Visual Basic macros into it that do, you know, can call out anything. And they thought they were so clever because you could do just about anything. You could install COM components by loading an Excel spreadsheet. Because who wouldn't want to do that? It lights up all kinds of really cool scenarios. And nobody thinks, well, what if you try? This is why you can't double click a .doc in your email, because doc files can embed code.
Exactly.
But a JPEG in your email is probably mostly okay, as long as it's actually a JPEG.
Well,
let's look at this more deeply now.
Let's let Foamboy continue. Maybe we'll get the answers we're looking
for. So I'm actually looking at this, and it doesn't tell you how this gets activated. This is what's interesting. It just says, well, okay, my guess is that there's something else that triggers that you know, that image gets put in cache somewhere, and you can probably find it and run it. I don't know. I mean, it doesn't really get into how this actually gets activated. So I don't know. This is kind of I should gong this fucking story.
I actually don't think you should gong this story, because if you have a proper IPS, that should fucking
it's actually antivirus stuff.
I don't think that
that's more antivirus. Yeah,
I don't think that the story needs gonging. I just think that the story is missing some important components.
Yes, I agree with you.
What are you opening?
This is the kind of reporting that we have, even with the tech.
Yeah, imagine that.
I was going to say, where did this come from?
Bleeping Computer, actually, which is okay. Usually okay.
They're usually pretty good.
Yeah, so this one, they kind of miss that. Because to me, I'm kind of missing the exploit chain, right? If I'm looking at this in a cybersecurity sense, I'm trying to figure out, okay, so yeah, I understand the concept that the file might contain it, but how does that thing get exploited? Executed?
That's, and by the way, My backup story that I was referring to is about malicious SVG files.
Ooh, I want to hear about this. And I think these two stories are going to highlight the fact that at the end of the day, end users are fucking stupid, folks. Stop fucking opening emails and just clicking on shit. Ooh, it's a cute panda.
I am not going, like, this particular one, I'm not going to say end users are stupid. I'm going to say that the people who decided that we want to support file formats that you can embed code in is the details on that particular one are SVG is an XML file that describes semantically an image.
Yeah. JPEGs for our, our logo images are all SVG files.
JPEGs, for example, they store the pixels, but an SVG it uses a semantic code system to describe what the image looks like, and it's XML based. And the benefit to SVG is that it's infinitely scalable, because whatever you scale at, the SVG interpreter will actually draw I can date myself and say, hey, you remember Logo back in the day?
Yes, that's, I remember Logo that's back what, in the day. I
that's
took
what
it,
an
I
SVG
took it
is. Is it's a grown up logo program.
Jesus Christ.
The problem is the XML
Yeah.
What is the most common use of XML type code? HTML.
Yeah.
What can you do with HTML? You can embed JavaScript. Again, this one suffers from the same problem as your other one in that it doesn't really say exactly what is being used to interpret. It just says when people click on the files. But you can embed JavaScript in HTML. You can therefore you can have inline JavaScript in the XML of the SVG file. And if you have a browser that is trying to parse and play the SVG to display an image, and it sees inline JavaScript and it's like, oh, well, we'll just run some scripts. Well, then you've suddenly got a file format that supports code embedding. And this particular one is, the salacious part, because Ars Technica always wants one, is that it's porn sites doing it, whatever, it doesn't matter who. The payload is, for this particular one, is the script is causing your browser to click like buttons on Facebook, probably for some monetary reason. I think both of those are unimportant and tame. Just the idea that you can open an SVG image and something, again, I want more details on the exploit chain, but something in this can execute JavaScript code. How about no?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
seriously. But you know what? It's a very important lesson, quite honestly, all right? Stop going to these fucking sites. Let's go old school. Let's do it, you know, the Ryan Bemrose way. Buy a fucking DVD with some goddamn skin flicks on it. You know, maybe a little hedgehog, you know.
Buy?
How can they pay me?
That.
Well, I'm disturbed.
Yeah.
Honest to God, you don't have to worry about getting malicious content on your computer if you just fucking get your porn on a DVD.
Yeah, or BitTorrented. I mean, you can do that too.
I wouldn't even trust a BitTorrent.
Or get it in a format that doesn't support code.
Yeah, no shit.
You know, physical media. How about that?
Yeah, exactly. All right, so
PNG, JPEG, there are plenty of image formats that are not code embedded.
Exactly. Okay, so who's
here's the problem, guys. It used to be the only fucking disease or virus you could get from sex was an STD. Now you have to worry about getting a virus that your computer can't get rid of. Talk about an STD for your AI.
Jesus Christ.
That is a whole different study. People who have abandoned all human interaction so they can have a relationship with their AI, and yet you can still get viruses.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. Even cyber sex isn't safe.
You've got to vet your partner.
Jesus Christ.
Exactly.
Okay. So looking at the stories I have here, I have a few more here, but this is, speaking of partners, I think we'll go with this one. So the LoveSense, sex toy app flaw leaks private user email addresses, because the connected sex toy platform LoveSense is vulnerable to a zero-day flaw that allows an attacker to get access to a member's email address simply by knowing their username, putting them at risk of doxing and harassment.
What is this website again?
It's an interactive sex toy manufacturer, best known for producing the app-controlled sex toys with names like the Lush.
She's about to go make a purchase.
The Gush.
Fuck you, Ryan.
And most importantly, the Kraken. The company claims to have 20 million customers worldwide. While LoveSense toys are commonly used for both local and long-distance entertainment. Oh
no, bullshit. What? No. We're doing this live on air, you MFers. What is that website? Drop it in the chat. We are going to go look at the product on this BS. No, not because I'm going shopping, you sick bastards. I'm serious, though. Why? All right. I got to ask it, you guys. Oh, no. Bemlet has joined. Here we go. Here's a question I have, gentlemen, and I'm being completely serious here, okay? If you have a partner that you really love, you really... I can't, okay? No.
I'm absolutely
against the fact of having my partner have control over my sex toy. I don't care if it's romantic or not. The last thing, no, no.
You know what this reminds me of?
Technology does not belong in your twat.
This reminds me. This reminds me of one of my favorite stories that I did on Grumpy Old Ben's way back in the day.
You mean what it was actually a show?
There was a show, yes. I've done tech shows.
There's
before.
Rumors of this.
I've ranted about tech shows before.
Yes.
But let's not get off track with the ball busting. The story was a chastity cage that was Wi-Fi enabled and was locked and unlocked by an app.
You give your partner
the app, and they can lock and unlock your chastity cage. And the problem was that, of course, the company who made it didn't think too much about security, and someone figured out how to get access to all the devices out there and lock or unlock them, and even change the password so that the rightful owner of the app could not get in.
Oh, shit.
And so if... you know, if somebody decides to perform this hack and you're wearing it, what are you going to do? Get a hacksaw out that close to your junk?
Or, you know, a blowtorch or anything else?
No.
How about no?
Yeah, exactly. I think I remember when you did that story. I mean, yeah. Jesus fucking Christ. People are dumb.
In fact, a few days later, the company came out with a recommendation where they suggested if you're stuck in one of these things, here is the point where you should use an electric drill to drill into the mechanism so that you can get access to a cable that you can pull to unlatch it.
Do the words, oh, bullshit, come to mind? That metal's going to heat up. God forbid you slip off and drill through your dick. I don't even have a dick, and I'm doubled over in pain, gentlemen. No.
Ouch. Yeah, that does not sound good. No.
No, here's a thought. I think I'd still take that over the blowtorch. Cage, go to the hospital. 911. 911.
That's even more embarrassing than the people who go to the hospital with a beer bottle shoved on.
Well, or you fell asleep after your partner finished inside you and now you're stuck together.
What?
Yeah, I've...
Okay, use lube, not glue.
Oh my, yeah.
That broke me for a moment. Yeah. Use lube, not glue. Somebody ISO that, please. No, I'm being completely serious though. I've actually seen there's these stories of, you know, sex sent me to the ER. Literally, I guess they were drunk or something, and you know, unprotected. He finished in, yeah, they got stuck together, had to go to the ER.
What is he eating?
Dude, a woman, I can tell you, y'all are not shooting seawater, sweetheart. That shit's sticky like candy.
Okay, so rubber boobs and like inject some liquid lubrication or something. What the hell is in your diet that you've got this industrial super glue coming out? That's what I want to know.
I too am concerned and curious about that, yes, but... Again, I'm going to make the point, your sex toys don't need to be online, period.
No, they don't.
No.
No, anything that goes near my junk doesn't need to be online.
No, 1,000%. There is zero, like, okay, so the Wii Vibe actually has an app where your partner can control it. But that's not something, arguably, in my opinion, that literally could cause a physical harm. Maybe a little embarrassment.
No, because if the mood is ruined, you just remove it and walk away. Good.
Yeah, but to have your junk locked in a metal device that could be controlled by somebody else and you're not getting out, and your boys and, you know, you're meeting two veg, you're turning purple and black and shit.
And some people are, I mean, I don't kink shame, some people are into control by something else like your partner. But when it's controlled by some rando on the internet who hacked into this website.
That's exactly it. This is why we don't put our sex toys online, folks, because we don't want some rando to be able to hack into the system and lock up your cock. Seriously, that's your wife's job to lock your cock, not some stranger on an app.
Okay, we're okay.
I feel like the show has hit bottom.
Oh.
I'm not the one who brought the sex toy hack story, gentlemen. I just want to point that out.
Yeah, well, okay. Well, anyway. Okay, Ryan, I'm sure you have another story.
I do, but I'm not going to use it. I'm done here.
Oh, you're
we can't. There's nowhere to go after that.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. You had the lowest hanging fruit and it dragged to the ground. What am I supposed to do about it?
Well, you know, that's what we do here. Sometimes we have to go for the low hanging fruit, but we have low hanging fruit to drag anyway.
Does your fruit hang low?
Yeah, exactly. Well, wait a minute. So how do I end this damn show? I don't know how to end this.
You know,
show.
I thought we were supposed to be more highbrow than this, gentlemen.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
Where did you get that idea?
I must have hallucinated it like an AI, considering I'm a bot.
You asked ChatGPT.
Exactly. Well, I think on that note, I think I know how I'm going to end this right now.
It's game over, man. It's game over. What the fuck are we going to do now? What are we going to do?